If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
When Alexander the Great had conquered all the way over to what we know to be modern India, he had gone as far as he could, and he was moving into the land of what we now call India. And he got drunk and fell asleep in the rain. It was a real bad rainstorm, and he fell asleep out in the rain, and he developed pneumonia. He was 33 years old. He developed pneumonia, and after a series of days of being sick, he succumbed to the pneumonia, and as he was dying, he had seven generals who were responsible for the army. And they all stood around him, and they asked him in his dying time, who is going to take over your kingdom? And Alexander the Great said, whoever is strongest, and died. And that plunged the Greek Empire into a civil war, because the seven generals started jockeying for the position. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. You are not responsible for the combatants, but you are responsible for the outcome. Who wins? I just told you about Alexander the Great. Whoever is, that's who wins. You can't speak your spirit to overcome your flesh if your flesh is stronger than your spirit. Nor can you deny the spirit place if your spirit is stronger than your flesh. Friday, I went to the gym. I had a busy morning, so I went in the afternoon, early evening, and I do 10 miles on the bike. And so I'm pedaling on the bike, and I'm pedaling. And I'm noticing, I usually pedal with the resistance at around 4 or 5. And I'm noticing that I'm not out of breath, and I'm not sweating. So I start pumping faster, and I noticed the resistance wasn't the same. So I said, oh, my body has become used to 4 or 5. Now I got to go to 7. In order to get a better burn, I've got to push up the resistance. Why? It'll make me stronger. When I went around to the machines to do a little light work, I don't want to look like a bodybuilder. I just want tone. And I went around to the machines, and I noticed that what I used to set it on, it don't do anything. I didn't have an ache or burn. I said, I got to push it up higher. When God lets trouble come in your life that's disheartening, that's frustrating, what he's saying is, I'm increasing it so you can get stronger. You've become accustomed to certain things, and you don't feel any challenge anymore. You think that's victory. God said, nope, I got to turn it up a little more. Why? Because you're going to have a test come soon. Your spirit is going to be challenged by your flesh, and I need to get your spirit stronger so it automatically defaults to victory. Now, how do I strengthen my spirit? I feed it the word of God. My machine, when I work it, I do 60 minutes. And when I work it, when it gets to the end, it'll say, workout completed, begin cool down. And the cool down is for 5 minutes. And it'll still be working, but it automatically drops to a lower number just to cool me down. When God wants to cause your spirit to grow, you have moments of energetic response, where you are feeding yourself the word of God. You are just drinking scripture. You're listening to it in the car. You got it on your iPhone. You're just hearing it come in. Your spirit is getting stronger. And then God says, now it's time to cool down. What's the cool down? Prayer. Prayer is when you let out all that stress to God, where you relax and tell him all about whatever you're going through. And then he takes all of that stuff into his loving arms and tells you, all right, now get back on that bike, because you let out that stuff. You cool down now. Now get back into the battle and let me strengthen your spirit, so that when your flesh starts to rebel, your spirit will automatically kick in because you've trained it to do that. What is love? Paul says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And when you are incapable of managing your flesh, then you're going to do what you don't want to do. You'll get the can't help it. He said, but if you are led of the spirit, you're not under bondage. Now the works, these are the things that come with the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And of the which I told you before, I told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but if you are filled with the Spirit. Now see, notice the contrast. If you are under the flesh domination, then these things will come out of you. Listen carefully. You don't have to do anything. They'll come out. Why? Because the flesh is prone to sin. That's why your flesh will never be saved until you either die or the rapture comes. No matter how saved you are, your flesh will always have the propensity to sin. It slips right back into sin. Brings stuff to your mind that you know you should not be thinking of. While you're praying, he'll bring stuff to your mind that you know is under the blood. Now, God's not remembering it, but we do. You stand with your arms outstretched praising God, and the eyes will open up, and you'll see somebody, and all your joy will just drain from you when you see that person. That's flesh, because he's not subject to the law of God. He cannot obey the law of God. He will not obey the law of God. He fights the law of God. He will keep you in bondage if you let him. He will bring you negative things about people so that your work and ministry will become laborious instead of liberating. It is your flesh that gets tired of people. Your spirit never does. It is your flesh that makes you say, these people. Notice what he does now. He shifts and says, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. Stop right there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's all it is. That is the fruit of the Spirit, love. But what Paul does here in combining this with the writing to the Corinthians in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, what he's going to do now, as he does in 1 Corinthians 13, is explains how it works. He did that over in 1 Corinthians 13. He says in verse 4, love suffers long and it's kind. See there? He's telling you. So if you say you love and you're not kind, you don't. Then he says it suffers long. So if you are short-tempered and have a short fuse, you're not walking in love. He goes on. He said, love doesn't envy. If you want what other people have to the point where you don't like them because of it, you're not walking in love. He goes on. He said, charity vaunteth or doesn't brag. Love doesn't brag. Then he says, it is not puffed up, arrogant. Love doesn't walk into the room and stand in the back with your arms folded, waiting to make an entrance. The service is going on, and you're going to lollygag yourself down to the front. Down to the front. Service is going on. Because you know everybody's going to watch you. Now, what you don't realize is if you exhibit that behavior, that's from your childhood. What that meant was you didn't get enough attention as a child. And so now you're going to force it on us. He says, look, he said, it doesn't behave itself unseemly. What does unseemly mean? We have to deal with that another time. But what's this word? Love doesn't behave in a fashion that would make you say, that person can't be saved. I had a man tell me once, who was an Amalekite, a Hittite, a Canaanite, and a Jebusite, all rolled up into one. He was the devil's chief of staff. And he said to me, he said, let me tell you something, Lambert. He said, I've known a lot of church people. He said, but you're the first Christian I ever met. When he died, I went to the funeral, and his wife, when I came in, she said, you're Eric Lambert. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm sorry for your loss. She said, so-and-so enjoyed watching you on television, and he did not like preachers, but he liked the God in me. See, When you're saved, you don't act unseemly. You don't bring a reproach on Jesus because you walk in love, and love is perfect. That means the sinners that you work with ought to be able to see Jesus through your neurosis. They ought to see Jesus through everything you are. Listen, just because you disagree with the person doesn't mean you can't walk in love. Stop fighting everybody. I believe. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you your way. I don't have a problem with that as long as you understand what goes along with your way. There's an old proverb, not proverb in the Bible, but a universal saying. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. You might be envious of somebody's wife or somebody's husband, and when you get them, then you realize why they were in church every time the door was open. You thought they were seeking God. No, they were trying to get away from that person. He said, the church is the only place I can have peace. And then you pray, Lord, give them to me, give them to me, give her to me, and you get them. Now you in church, your church attendance has risen. No, don't envy what anybody has. Say, God, I don't want what's not for me. Just give me what's mine because I have the grace for what's mine. I don't have the grace for what's yours. I don't want an automobile that I have to hire a guard to watch when I go into the mall. I want a car that I can leave the windows down, and if they jack it, just jack it. I don't want anything that keeps me up all night worrying about its safety. It's not God. Why does God? Let me go on. He said it's not, it doesn't envy. It doesn't brag. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. He said it doesn't seek its own. It's not looking for attention. It's not looking for stuff for it. Yeah, well, so-and-so, he, you know, they doing so-and-so, and they don't even talk to me about it. So what? Pastor, you know, I gave Bruce a shirt, and he ain't say thank you. So? So he's rude. What's that got to do with anything? Well, he could at least say thank you. Why? Now what you're telling me is that you gave it to be recognized. And when they didn't recognize you, you became offended. Well, let's flip that script, as the young people say. Did you thank God for waking you this morning? How do you think God feels? You know, I kept them all day long. There were tractor-trailer accidents on the road, and I kept them from getting hurt. And they came all the way home and never said thank you. You know, I dissolved a tumor in their body. You know they never said thank you. Do you know that I fixed it so their situation medically would be better and they never said thank you? Do you know I brought their children home from school every day and they never said thank you? Do you know I kept the devil from breaking in their home when they were on vacation and they never said thank you? So now you're upset when somebody doesn't say thank you for what you do, but when's the last time you thanked God?
6118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH, TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.